Hey guys, and thanks for joining us at IED Sports. Today we're talking week 11 NFL news and notes. We're also talking about making the case for a couple popular players, the favorites who are going to be in the MVP battle for this year. So thank you for joining us. This is IED Sports. It's been a great week, Steve.
Yeah, man. I mean, not if you were a quarterback in fantasy football this past weekend.
Not if you're a fantasy football player in general. I meant like good weather. Thanksgiving's coming up. It's been a good time to be alive here. Let's talk about fantasy owners who, in particular, did not have a great week, and those are the people who owned Nick Chubb.
I mean, he did have the one touchdown. He just didn't have the second one.
You know? Yeah, well, that's what matters. He put up a stat line, 19 rushes, 126 yards and a touchdown, but it could have been two. Now, at the end of the game, his team was up 10-7. That is the Browns beating up on the Texans by a final score 10-7. He got it down to the 1 yard line and he ran out of bounds. The team was able to kneel down and salt the game away. Of course, they would have been up 17-7 with only a couple seconds left. But I guess he did what's better for his team.
Analytics got in the way because if he stepped out at the one, it was a 99.9% chance to win. But if he scored, there was a 99.4% chance that the Texans could come back and tie it up.
There's a 100% chance that if you own Nick Chubb and you lost by 5 points in your fantasy football league, that you did not like that decision. I guess it was responsible. I'm not sure it was completely.
I played Nick Chubb in all three of my leagues and I won all three of them. So,
well, there you go. That's my on your face on a Wednesday. Now from fantasy upset to real life upset, the Bills lost a close one to the Cardinals. This was kind of the other story of the week. Steve, tell us what happened there.
I mean, 11 seconds left. Right after Josh Allen threw just a beautiful dime to Stephon Diggs in the end zone with 34 seconds left. And then the Cardinals bring it out. They get it past the 50 with 11 seconds left. And then he just throws just a beautiful, Kyler Murray just throws a beautiful arc and
a rainbow Hail Mary.
Three Bills were in the area and Nuke just caught it all over three of them. He is a just beast.
He was upset that everyone was talking about other people being the best wide receiver in the league, and he just really wanted to show off in that game. Said, Stephon Diggs, I'll take you one and I'll raise one. Went up, got a ball over three defenders, came down with it. Of course he caught it because his hands are like solid gold on the football.
and you know, the thing is that the Bills, they had a wonky second half, you know, especially with the two turnovers and everything. But then for them to pull it together at the last minute and then score that touchdown, you're like, okay, Bills are still the real deal despite their
misstep. I think you won the game there. Like, what other wide receiver catches a Hail Mary like that? Like AJ Green? He's not even alive in NFL anymore.
AJ Green had that one Hail Mary from Andy Dalton. Jeff Janis had two Hail Marys from Aaron Rodgers in two different seasons.
Okay, so we got to move on. Talk about quarterbacks. We have a quarterback injury we need to talk about. There were three quarterbacks that were knocked out of football games, but the one that where you see as the longest term deal is Drew Brees. In the meantime, he'll be replaced by Jameis Winston. I think that is actually better for the fantasy assets on the Saints, especially one Michael Thomas who's had trouble getting things up and moving, but it may not be great for the Saints. Saints are 7-2 on a 6-game winning streak. Of course, we saw them in prime time top off Tampa Bay 38-3. It's just devastating timing for this team that I've said before is the most complete top down defensive offensive team in the NFL. And now they have Jameis Winston. So it's not the end of the world. Jameis Winston has won football games.
And, you know, he threw for 5,000 yards last year. It was just that he threw for 32 touchdowns and 30 picks. So, take the good with the bad.
You could say he threw 62 game-changing balls last year, Steve. Depends how we look at that.
That would definitely be a record.
Drew Brees is out for multiple weeks. They said up to three, maybe on the IR. We're not really sure. He had a rib contusion, collapsed lung, I believe the word we're using.
Yeah, the collapsed lung was the part that got me. That, because, like, you know, it's Drew Brees. He normally plays through injuries, but for him to say to Sean Payton, "Man, I can't go," that was something.
And he was not knocked out of the game. He came out after halftime and stood on the sidelines. So just a lot of question marks around what's going on there. Now, Michael Thomas, he did make weeks 2 through 7, but in his 2 weeks back, he only has 13 targets in weeks 8 and 9, and only 7 total receptions of those 13 targets. So Michael Thomas, to me, is the beneficiary here of having a guy like Jameis who's just going to throw the ball. Maybe Emmanuel Sanders. Is there anyone else here that you think gets a little upvote?
No, I would maybe Jared Cook, but Jameis Winston doesn't have a good history of throwing to his tight end. So
okay, so we're gonna go with that. Now another quarterback who a lot of people benched last week is a guy who I say all the time, he never has two bad weeks in a row. Tom Brady does not have two bad weeks in a row. He may have a bad week, not two in a row. Last week, 22 of 38 for 209, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions against New Orleans in that great
blowout
primetime game, that blowout that we all saw. This week, 28 of his 39 passes found their target for 341 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions versus Carolina. So it's like, it's one of those, you know, the exact opposite kind of games. How much of this is, like I said, a veteran player coming back and bouncing back and having the knowledge and the wisdom to compete better? And how much is it just the step down from New Orleans defense to Carolina's defense?
I mean, Carolina has been feisty on defense, and they actually held their own. The Carolina, they held their own against, they were actually up 14 to 3 going into the second quarter, you know, because it's just that Tom Brady, he just understands the game so well. And, you know, people like to criticize him and stuff like that, but he is a leader, and, you know, he's always been encouraging to his players. He's always gotten them fired up, and they got fired up, especially my guy Rojo, who had the one run
that we're going to talk about for the next 6 months. Now, to be a little more specific, DVOA, New Orleans is ranked number one defense. Carolina's around 17, so they're not the Swiss cheese we kind of make them out to be a little bit. Mm-hmm. They are the kind of the butt of all jokes, but they're not that. They're just
By the way, Rojo is still dead to me. We have an IED sports group chat, and after Ronald Jones fumble on the first possession of the game, I was like, I angrily stated in our group chat, Ronald Jones is dead to me, and then he proceeds to have a 98-yard run, and I'm just like, he's still risen.
Okay, we got to move on. Colts position players is the last kind of thing I want to talk about. This running back trio, I say all the time, if you can't figure it out by like week 10, it's time to cut bait. Naeem Hines was the guy this week. 12 rushes for 70 yards and a touchdown, 5 receptions for 45 and a touchdown. This is also the first game that he's ever had with double-digit rushes. We remember after that Marlon Mack injury, he was the guy to pick up, and then he put up 8 weeks of stinkers in a row. Now, apparently it's his time to burst. Wilkins went 8 for 28. Jonathan Taylor looked terrible, 7 for 12 and 2 receptions for 25 yards. No one here's the thing. No one's going to emerge as a thing. Is that fair to say that this Colts backfield is just going to be flip a coin? Might as well be the Rams.
I would say that it's Hines, because they're saying that Taylor's hurt. They're saying that he's hurt. So I'm going to go with that for right now until they say that he's not, you know, but Naeem Hines is the guy, because he's clearly getting the majority of the touches. I mean, 19 touches, you know, that's something.
Thanks for the great beat writer work from the Colts. Says Coach Frank Wright said on Monday that Taylor has a bit of an ankle injury. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. That really helps my fantasy team this week, writing that he has a bit of an ankle injury. Let's move on to the one guy who I really want to talk about, the guy I am getting on my plate everywhere I can, Michael Pittman Jr. Played on Thursday night primetime, 7 catches, 101 yards, and 21-yard rush. 3 weeks into his rehab from his injury, my question for Michael Pittman Jr., is he the real deal? Is he going to be an every-week starter and every-week flex guy? It looks like he's the number one guy on this offense, period. And that goes running back. He's the guy. Is that correct?
No. No. If anybody is the guy, it's Mo Alie Cox, because like Phillip Rivers, he's just very inconsistent. He's been the only thing that he's been consistent in is spreading the ball around this year. He's been consistent
in his inconsistencies.
Exactly. Because remember at the beginning of the season, Mo Alie Cox was supposed to be like the big tight end pickup, and then he like disappointed, and then he got injured, and then, you know, the only person that I thought was going to be a thing, and the numbers did reflect this, because when all three were on the field, he was the one who was getting the targets, and that was Paris Campbell, but he's on injured reserve. So yes,
Michael Pittman is a guy to pick up. He will be a flex play, you believe, for the next couple weeks.
I say hold him on the bench, because his playoff schedule is going to be brutal. Because I forget it off the top of my head.
But he's got Steelers, Texans, Raiders, Colts going from week 16 backwards. So he's got a couple of good games and one terrible, terrible matchup. And just for clarification, when we said that Mo Alie Cox was the big pickup, there was a pun intended there. He's 6'6", 260 pounds. He's quite possibly the largest receiving target on just about any team. So definitely something I like there. But Michael Pittman Jr., I am putting my foot down. I'm planting my flag. Michael Pittman Jr., someone you want on your team and someone you got to pay up for.
Okay.
Let's talk about some MVP candidates. Now, these are not the only four. These are the four that have been getting the most traction, of course. It's nice to speculate. I think in a couple weeks we might do, maybe next week, we'll do our fantasy MVPs. And these are two very different things, because when we talk about MVP, we talk about the best player, and it's actually not the best player. Well, it's the most valuable player to their own team. It's a lot different. And for fantasy, your fantasy MVP might be your running back two or a wide receiver three, just someone who just came from obscurity, had no value, had no price, and because of him, you're overproducing. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll bring some special guests on for that episodes. But let's talk about the four guys who are the NFL MVP candidates. First, sell me on one Russell Wilson.
And the funny thing is that, you know, just a quick aside, when you were talking about fantasy MVPs, when I was making the cases for all of these MVP candidates, I actually included their MVP averages for the year. So the first one, obviously, I think is a no-brainer.
For the record, before we continue, you're going to give the case and I'm going to give the rebuttal. It's not necessarily that I hate these guys. If you listen to the show at all, you know I love Russell Wilson. I'm just going to give you why maybe they're not.
Yep. So the first guy is Russell Wilson. You know, he's at 28 touchdowns to 10 interceptions this season. So far, that's a 2.8 to 1 touchdown to interception ratio, which is pretty good. He is also in his 9 games thrown for 2789, which if you average that out, almost every 100 yards that he throws, he has a touchdown, which means if he's taking you down the length of the field, he's going to score most likely. And, you know, yes, the last two games have been a little bit of a lull for him, but he's still the QB number three on the season in half PPR. And he does have a good schedule coming up, you know, with the only one being a tough week 16 rematch against the Rams, which, okay, you may not play him on week 16 against the Rams if you have another option. But, you know, looking at the fantasy point of view, in half PPR, he is averaging 27.12 points per game, which is pretty good.
It's excellent. Now, the first that I want to bring up, which is really frightening, 1,048 yards. That is the total rushing total for the Seattle Seahawks so far this year. That is terribly, terribly low. 325 of those are Russell Wilson himself. 323 are Chris Carson. So not only is he not necessarily the run first guy, he's also the leading rusher on this team. And now we know they've had injuries, but just not getting off the ground, they've had to rely on Russell Wilson even more than usual.
But isn't that like two seasons in a row where Russell Wilson has led the team in rushing?
Yeah, he has. And it's not, like I said, 325 yards is not a gaudy number. He's not, you know, the next guy we're going to talk about. But yeah, so that to me is going to help him on his stats, because he is so dependent. The team wins when Russell Wilson wins. When Russell Wilson loses, the team loses. And that is kind of also my knock. He threw an in-zone interception each of the past two games. those end zone interceptions should count really as like two or three, because if you throw an interception in the end zone, that could be a 14 point swing right there in the game that just cost your team. He also has three fumbles over his last two games. He's averaging about nine a season over most of his career. So yeah, he fumbles, but three over the last two games, it's those high value opportunities that he's losing out for himself. Mm-hmm. And it's just the past two games. They're very high profile games against one of them, against the other MVP candidate who we're going to go over right now, and that is Josh Allen, who outshined Russell Wilson last week. So let's talk a little about Josh Allen and where we make the case for him.
Yeah, and Josh Allen is the other QB who's been playing great. I think there's one more, but I want to get through all the other main candidates first. But yeah, he has had a couple of games where he struggled himself. But you know, when he went head to head with Russell Wilson, he just outplayed him at every level: his accuracy, his touch passes, everything. Allen has thrown 21 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, which is actually a better ratio than Russell Wilson at 3-1 touchdown to interception. And you know, while he is thrown for 2,871, that is over 10 games. So he has his bye this week. Russell Wilson's at 9 games. So overall, it is a close call between Wilson and Allen, because the MVP is going to go to a quarterback. We all know that. That's the case that I would make for him as an MVP. And also just again, from a fantasy aspect and half PPR, Josh Allen is the number two quarterback right now, and he is averaging 24.54 points per game, which again is really good.
Absolutely. That is really good. However, my knock here for Josh Allen is always going to be consistency. Mm-hmm. Now, he did have some pretty bad games. Against KC, he threw for 122 yards. Against New England, 154. He's averaging 287 per game. So that is a huge outlier to his yardage statistics. His rushing upside is also spotty. He has as many as 10 to 15 rushes a game for 40 to 50 yards a lot of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He has 1 week where he rushed 4 times for 8 yards and 1 week where he rushed 3 times for -1 yard. So
yeah. Again,
my thing is if he's going to be that MVP, he needs to perform week in and week out and win the big games and not get taken out of games like he was in those instances.
And my rebuttal to that is, you know, I think that Josh Allen is like the anti Cam Newton, because, you know, when Cam Newton stopped rushing from the pocket, he was not the same Cam Newton. And Josh Allen, you know, he's rushed less this year, and his numbers and his accuracy has actually gone up. I think it's because he's starting to trust his offense. I mean, he has two. I don't know the John Brown injury situation. I know that he was taken off field.
He has a healthy Stephon Diggs, which is something Kirk Cousins could have never said at this point last year.
A healthy Stephon Diggs. Cole Beasley. I know that you keep on saying, you know, good for reality, bad for fantasy. Both in fantasy and reality, Cole Beasley has been pretty darn consistent. You know, he's a wide receiver three. You know, wide receiver three flex, obviously. You know, he's not Stephon Diggs or John Brown, but he has a good cast of weapons. And if John Brown is out for an extended period of time, then they drafted Gabriel Davis, who has flashed. So, you know, Josh Allen has the capabilities to really, you know, and he's got a tough slate, and he has a tougher slate Absolutely. Than Russell Wilson.
Let me tell you something else about Josh Allen. He has a 7-3 record. In his 3 losses, he has combined for 5 interceptions. In his 7 wins, he's combined for 2 interceptions. So this team really does rise and fall on Josh Allen, and that is a case for MVP if they can put together a winning season, make a deep run, and do all those things. If they rise and fall on this one guy, then they end up falling, then, you know, you could throw it out. So let's move on to we do think in this NFL, quarterback maybe is even – I don't want to say overvalued, but maybe these defensive guys don't get no love. The running backs don't necessarily get any love. So let's talk about two running backs that we think could make the case for MVP in the 2020 NFL season, starting with Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, and I know, and you know, like you said, and I said earlier in the show that MVP typically goes to the quarterback, but if there was a non-QB MVP, it would have to be between the two running backs because they've been pretty darn consistent all year.
The two running backs, by the way, are Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook. For those of you who are, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious which two running backs are going to but, you know, for argument's sake.
Yeah, and for me, I would say that Kamara has the stronger case for MVP. I know that Dalvin Cook has had the flashier games, but Alvin Kamara has been more consistent. So let's look at the numbers. Four of Kamara's nine games, he scored two touchdowns or more. In six of nine Kamara's games, he has had more than 100 yards from scrimmage. In a couple of them, they were darn close to 200. And he is averaging in rushing and receiving yards when they're combined. He's averaging 14.3 yards per play. Now, that's averaging both his rushing and his receiving numbers. And I get that those are two different stats, but, you know, 14.3 yards per play, that is a game changer for a gadget player.
And I agree. And my knock is not going to be necessarily on the player, just about his usage and how good this offense is without him. And it doesn't matter if Alvin Kamara is there or not for me. You do have a great backup running back. He adds, for me, Alvin Kamara, more in the passing game than on the ground. On the ground, he is pretty average, 4.67 yards per attempt. Latavius mm-hmm. Murray, his backup, 4.2. Now, there is a difference there, but it's a small percentage. These guys, Alvin Kamara goes down, Lat Murray could step in. We've seen it before.
Yes,
and just have. Not skip a beat. His 486 rushing yards, Murray has 378. So even when he is there, there's another running back taking a lot of the work. And the last comment I have, Drew Brees is going to be out for some time, and we're going to see if Alvin Kamara really is that guy. We're going to get the film in the next couple weeks. Again, I don't think Alvin Kamara is even going to be the guy they lean on. I think it's going to be Lat Murray who they're going to mix in more. More plays doesn't mean more plays for Kamara. It means an even greater timeshare for both of these guys. So, again, mm-hmm. Kamara for me is almost out of the MVP race, not because he's not an exceptionally skilled player, but it's because you can plug a much less skilled player in and he's going to contribute just about the same. He is valuable to the team.
I disagree with that so much because when Michael Thomas was out, like, Drew Brees was hyper targeting and getting the ball into Alvin Kamara's hands. Like, Alvin Kamara is one of the biggest reasons why they are on this such a big winning streak because look, when Drew Brees went down in the second half, who was the one who stepped up the most? It was Alvin Kamara. I think he scored twice in the second half. You know, this guy is just a difference maker. But I'm gonna move on
disagree, but like we've had, you know, the two games in the middle of last year against Chicago and Arizona where you know, Lat Murray 27 rushes, 119, 21 rushes, 102. He scored three rushing touchdowns and a receiving touchdown. He also averaged about 40 yards a game receiving during that two game span. So
that's just good team building.
It's good team building that shows that he's not as valuable to the team. If you take Alvin Kamara away, this is still a playoff plus team. If you take Ben Roethlisberger away from the Steelers, you saw what happened last year. They're a four-win mm-hmm. team. So when we talk about most valuable, I'm actually surprised you didn't throw a Big Ben on there because that could have been a case too.
That is actually
gaudy stats do not make for a winning team.
Yeah, that because actually I was going to pose the question at the end, but you're kind of beating me to it. But we're not going to discuss that right now.
Another running back, Dalvin Cook, talk about.
Yes. So if Kamara is in the mix, then Cook certainly has to be in the conversation as well because Cook has just as strong a case to be MVP, and the numbers again do show. First, I'm going to get the fantasy angle out of the way. He averages 22.7 points per game. And if you take and that was averaging in the nine games, you know, just to be fair, but if you take out the game that he missed, he's actually at 25.53. You know, he just had the one absence against the Falcons. You know, but looking at his other stats, in four of nine games this season, Cook again, you know, scored twice. But in five of nine games, Cook has had 100 yards from scrimmage or more. But then out of four or five of those scrimmage, while Kamara was more receiving or combined scrimmage yards, four or five of Cook's games were just straight up rushing. And since Cook is not the receiving back that Kamara is, his yards per play are significantly lower. But you have to keep in mind that 3.5 yards per carry is actually considered to be the mark of a good running back and a good metric. But Cook is averaging 5.43 yards per rush, which is well above the league average. Almost
0.8 yards per rush more than Alvin Kamara because he's a much better pure running back. Now, I'm going to kind of just dig into the MVP, what it means. MVP is the most valuable player. I don't see the MVP coming from a 4-4 football team right now. They're going to have to step it up in the second half. Mm-hmm. Here are the yardage totals per game. Are you ready?
Yep.
48, yep. 71, mm-hmm. 199, 146, 89, 226, 252, 112, and obviously the zero where he didn't play. But this for me, he absolutely checks the box as being valuable to his own team. Mm-hmm. But he's another guy who's got a great backup. Maybe one of the reasons why a running back isn't going to be the MVP. And, you know, against tough matchups, Indy and Chicago, what does he do? He doesn't show up. As a side, his week one terrible performance was against Green Bay, where he rushed 12 times for 50 yards, two touchdowns, and had one catch for -2 yards.
Okay. We're going to clear up that misconception right now. Alexander Mattison in week six, he, like, did not perform well at all in Dalvin Cook's absence. You know, he performed great in relief in Seattle when Cook didn't return.
Week five, 20 rushes, 112 yards. That's 5.6.
Mm-hmm. But
three balls for 24.
But then in week six, he completely floundered.
Yeah, he also got 12 touches. I mean, there's also a little bit, you can say his 12 touches in week six against Atlanta, where he didn't need to do much on the ground because Atlanta's pass defense is Swiss cheese. You look at his 12 touches against Detroit, which were basically all when Dalvin Cook was fine. He was still there. 12 rushes for 69 yards. So I think Alexander Mattison, like a one game bad outlier, doesn't really, for me, say what he's doing for his career. I believe in Alexander Mattison. I believe he is a premier handcuff in this league. But he's going to put up a poo-poo game once in a while. It happens.
Yeah, but when you're getting the starting range to show what you have, like, you don't flounder like that.
And, yeah, you can't put up 48 rushing yards against Green Bay.
And you know, the Bears had a good strategy against Dalvin Cook. You know, the Bear, you know, you got to remember divisional. You got to take divisional records out of the mix. Divisional games out of the mix when you're talking about strategy, because these teams know each other so well. So of course they're going to have a better plan for Dalvin Cook than they would say Matt Breida or any other running back that's not in their division.
Or maybe it's just Roquan Smith and Trevathan who just
yeah. Okay. And they don't like Dalvin Cook very much.
Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook. Let us know what you think. Let us know who is your MVP pick for this season, or if it's someone else, you can tweet us at @i80_sports. Find us at i80sports.com, youtube.com/i80sports. Steve, have a great week.
Yes, sir.
Guys, thank you for watching i80sports.